Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Mark Zuckerberg can loosen his tie for a while, but the trouble for tech companies continues as Congress pushes for answers regarding the harvesting and misuse of online user data. U.S. Senator John Thune says a light touch on regulation encourages innovation and growth in the tech industry. I spoke with Senator Thune yesterday after the Facebook CEO had finished his second day of testimony on Capitol Hill. We talked about the challenges of identifying the boundaries of the data breach and which tech giants might stand in the spotlight next.
I think overall he did a nice job. I mean, I think he handled himself well. You know, he took questions and for 5 hours. So he definitely put his time in, and he got a lot of different questions on kind of different range of topics. Although most of it had to do with user data and the stuff that was obviously stolen or missing. But on the other hand, I thought that in order for us to evaluate these sort of proposed remedies that they put forward, we still need answers about the extent of the privacy problem the company's trying to address. He frankly didn't shed much new light on that issue beyond confirming that what happened at Cambridge Analytica wasn't an isolated incident. In other words, I think the problem is much more widespread and more pervasive than he was able to quantify. And he basically told me that too when I met with him the day before the hearing, that they hadn't been able through their audit yet to, in their investigation, to figure out exactly how many other firms or businesses that did business with Facebook might have had access to user data that they then were able to misuse. So we need to get that kind of defined and know exactly what that is. I thought the other thing that came out of it that there was sort of general consensus on was that there has to be a way in which the users' agreements can be more clearly explained to the users so that they know what they're consenting to. And, you know, there's just a lot of conversation about the fact that when a lot of people sign up for Facebook or they click on that user agreement, in many cases they don't know what it is that they're consenting to, and I think creating a process to make that consent more meaningful and more understandable to users is something that we're going to be taking a look at.
There was a moment where he admitted for the first time that his own data was part of what was offered to Cambridge Analytica. Is that the idea that he did not know that, even though presumably he would know how to handle his own data privacy? Or what was the significance of that moment to you?
Well, I think it just points out that it doesn't matter how sophisticated you are. I mean, he's clearly a very smart guy. He founded this company, designed this system that anybody can get caught up in, using these social media platforms and perhaps not know that the information that they're providing is going to end up someplace that they didn't agree to or and being used in a way that they didn't sign off on. So I think that illustrates just how complicated this issue is. And clearly when people sign up for Facebook or other social media platforms and they're getting something free, they're getting, something that that doesn't cost them anything, I think they all assume they're giving a certain amount of information out. But I think the question is how much of that is going to end up in somebody else's hands and how is it going to be used or misused? And those are, things that Facebook, I think, has had to come to grips with. And I thought the one thing that he demonstrated was remorse, contrition, and an acknowledgement that they made mistakes. And I think he gets it. He understands the fact that he appeared before our committees for the first time ever, and he's never appeared before a congressional committee before, suggests to me that he and his company realize that this is something they've got to address and do it quickly if they're going to rebuild the trust of their users and their investors and everybody that, the 2 billion folks out there who depend on Facebook.
He's been accused of sort of being on a nonstop apology tour, though, but you think this time was different, that it was more than just the, this is a kid who's been apologizing since, he started this company in his dorm room. You feel like his presence on the Hill was significant in that way?
He does fall back on the fact that, you know, you can't expect, I started this, I was 19 years old in my dorm room, clearly I'm going to make mistakes. And I don't think anybody doubts that. I think people cut him a little bit of slack when it comes to the fact that startups, you know, like that are going to go through times when they probably do make mistakes or perhaps even, you know, step over some lines. But I think the thing that to me, I hope at least, is different this time is, one, he's a much older person now who has been at this for quite a while. I do think my impression is at least, is that he is sincere in his objectives and goals for the company. I mean, I think he really does. He talked about being idealistic and optimistic and wanting to connect people, and I think all that's true, but that doesn't excuse him from the responsibility he has to his users to make sure that their information isn't misused and harvested in a way that that they don't know about. So I think that the apology that he made this time, and it has been described that way, but, you know, spending 5 hours in front of a congressional committee and taking questions, I think, is a different level than what they're accustomed to, and a recognition on his part that he needs to take this head on. And if he wants to have the American people and all the users of Facebook out there trust him going forward, that he's got to be accountable and he's going to have to be more transparent.
Reporter Tim Wu wrote in the Times that Facebook's business model is about maximizing the harvesting of data and human attention. So that was something else that came up again and again. Is this a tech company? Is it a public utility? Is it a media outlet? Is it a publishing firm? Do you have a sense now that you didn't have, you know, 2 or 3 days ago of what exactly Facebook is in order to apply the appropriate regulations to them?
I think he acknowledged really that they are more than a neutral platform, which is what a lot of the social media platforms have contended in the past, that, you know, we're just the medium. The content's provided by somebody else, the content's provided by our users, whatever. But, you know, Facebook has been called on the carpet, and we did it a couple of years ago because they were showing political bias in the way that they were their news aggregation service was working. Their trending topics, which was supposed to have been based upon some objective algorithm, was in fact being edited by a bunch of people, and there was a lot of political bias going into that, and they acknowledged it. They changed the process by which they collect and distribute news, and so I think that was even a first step that they've made toward an acknowledgement that they are more than just a neutral platform. But I thought even yesterday in his answers to these questions that were raised on, are you a platform or are you a publisher, make it clear going forward that he is going to have to assume a higher level of responsibility for the content that appears on their platform, because I think they want to be a distributor of news. And, you know, I used a statistic yesterday, which, if it's accurate, is amazing. 45% of people get news from Facebook. I mean, that's a pretty stunning figure. So they really now have kind of become, I think, a media outlet. And that with that comes different expectations and different responsibilities. I think he's acknowledged that and obviously owned up to the need for more responsibility on the part of him and his company when it comes to what goes out, the information that's available on their platform.
Do you see comprehensive privacy and data protection regulation in the future coming out of this, or is it too soon to tell? What are your thoughts?
I think it's probably too soon to tell, and, you know, I'm not somebody who's a big fan of heavy regulation. I think the light touch of regulation is what has made the Internet and many of the tech companies so successful and the reason it's exploded and offered so many benefits. But I also believe that, they are a virtual monopoly. I mean, there's nobody else that does what they do. And, they monetize it through their advertising. But I do think that there are some examples, for example, in Europe where they've come up with some sort of legislative and regulatory fixes that put some constraints around this. And I think a lot of it has to do with the thing that we talked about earlier, and that is what constitutes meaningful consent by a user. So I think there are some, we'll see. I mean, there are some, we're looking at the European idea, their model, again, not wanting to, heavily regulate, because I think that stifles innovation. And I think that obviously people get something for free with Facebook today, and the question came up yesterday, if you couldn't do what you're doing now, you know, how would people have to pay for it? And he said there's always going to be a version of Facebook that's free, but sort of implying that there are, if the, you know, some versions of it they may have to charge for. And I don't think anybody wants to go down that road, but at the same time, they've got to exercise a higher level of responsibility than what we've seen in the past. If they don't, I think the risk of them being subject to some congressional or regulatory agency regulations is more likely. And so I think we'll get a chance to, in the next few months, to see the changes they make. We hope to call in other tech companies and hear what they're going to do to protect user privacy. This user privacy issue is something that's really I think exploded in terms of the public consciousness. People are more aware now that some of this information that they're providing is can be used and misused, and I think that there's a concern about that is probably going to be a call for action at some point. And the question is whether that call for action is can be met by the industry itself, the social media platforms themselves, or whether or not it's going to take some intervention by Congress.
See, they monetize it through their advertising, but what they're advertising is really us, right? It's our data.
That's correct.
Profiles.
And
who owns that? Who owns your advertising profile? Who owns your browsing history? That's really what's at stake, which is a little different than saying, you know, they monetize it through sending you an ad for, you know, chocolate, as, you know, kind of came up in the hearings. It's not that. That's not how they're making their money, by showing me an ad for chocolate. They're making it by showing the chocolate manufacturer an ad for me.
That, and they're basically, they say, I mean, you are the product.
Yeah.
With Facebook, and that's absolutely right. So, you know, the user data is how they create the connections with other apps, and I think so in terms of their business model, can it work if you change the way in which people subscribe to their services? I don't know, but I think those are all questions that we're going to try and get more context in, and I think we'll have, you know, some of these businesses and firms like Cambridge Analytica, perhaps others with whom Facebook has done business in the past that now they say they suspended their business with, have them come in and talk about how they got access to this data, how they used it, and I think that'll help give us some direction and shape what we do going forward as well. And I think the other social media platforms, we had frankly invited Twitter and Google to this hearing yesterday, but understandably they didn't want to come at the same time as Facebook. But I think at a future date we'll get them in, and I think we need to figure out what all these social media platforms are doing in terms of how they make money off of other people's information.
Senator Thune, if I may, one more question, and that's the big news of the day that Speaker Paul Ryan is decided not to run for re-election. Should America read between the lines about something like that, like many are in the news today about the sort of the changing nature of the Republican Party? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think in his case, I really do think you can take it at face value. I mean, I've known him for a long time. He came in 2 years after I did into the House, and so, you know, he's very very committed to his family. He has young kids, and he wants to make that a priority, and I get that. And the job he has right now requires a lot of sacrifices, and probably is the toughest job in the world. Trying to manage the House of Representatives on any given day is a big challenge. And I think you know, there's a lot of people are reading into it, well, does this mean that he's worried about losing the majority, or does he have aspirations for other office down the road? And I can't speak to that, but I can speak to the fact that it is a very tough job and a very high level of stress. He's made some great contributions and has some significant accomplishments to point to. One of the things that he wanted to get done before he left was tax reform. That's something that's been a passion of his since he first got here, and he achieved that this year. I think in the first, year of this new administration, there have been some good things done in terms of the economy and national security, and of course judges, which is more of a Senate issue. But I think he can look back and look at a record of accomplishment and just felt like the time was right. So I don't think you read too much into it, but you know, obviously there's a lot of speculation about what happens in the House in the November elections, and we'll know.
Some of that speculation is that the current administration is making some, you know, long-term Republicans question about, you know, what they want their future to be. Out of line, maybe some truth to that?
Well, I think in terms of the speaker's relationship with the administration, with the president, they're very different individuals, and I think both with respect to temperament and character, it's no secret, I think, that they're not exactly companions in terms of the way they do things. But I do think they both look at the agenda and realize there are things that we need to do for the good of the country, and I think they have accomplished some things this last year. But, you know, to the broader issue of the Republican Party and where it's headed, you know, I think that President Trump obviously is a very unconventional person in terms of the way he does things. He's obviously, as far as sort of Republican philosophy, maybe not 100% down the line with what we've known and experienced in the past. I mean, I came of age when Ronald Reagan was running for national office, and I was a huge fan of his because I just believed in his vision of what America was about, what our government ought to be about. And, you know, and there Donald Trump represents a sort of a different vision, a different style. But I think at the Republican Party and its sort of core values and principles are, to me, pretty timeless, and I think they survive from one administration to the next. And so I think that you'll continue to see good people, conservatives step up, run for elective office, irrespective of what might be happening in the one administration or the next.
Senator John Thune, thank you so much. You've been very generous with your time.
Thanks, Lori. Always good to be with you.